It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from Courage, well, for Thursday, April 4th, with your hosts, me, Ray, and the good-looking guy wearing the Courage shirt, Zach. How are you today, handsome?
Happy Thursday. Doing great. CarEdge.com. Check it out. We got a new homepage. Playing around with a few things back on the website. We'll get Pops' feedback at the end of the show. But our show today, brought to you by us, damn it, CarEdge.com. Go check it out. The big story today, Dad, Ford shocking the auto industry.
Can I make one suggestion? Can we just change our name to Us Damn It?
Us, damn it. No, we're going to stick with CarEdge. I think it's got a better ring to it. Dad, let's start here. We'll start here. You're going to have to let me go on a little bit of a tear. Ford delays EV pickup and utilities as it expands hybrid options. Ford said it plans to offer hybrid variants on each gas-powered vehicle in its lineup by the end of the decade. So that's shocking item number one. Shocking item number two, Dad, comes by way of, let me get it here. We've actually got Ford trying to move away from their Lightning namesake. Second-gen Ford F-150 EV could drop Lightning from the name. That's another shocker. And also on the EV front, Dad, zero Ford Mustang Mach-E EVs were produced in March 2024. Huge shakeups going on at Ford this morning across the board. What do you make of this? I put shocking in the headline. This maybe you won't even find this shocking because this is so almost expected, isn't it?
As the late, great Yogi Berra once said, it's deja vu all over again, ladies and gentlemen. Ford seems to shock the industry daily, okay? I mean, it's like they change directions more frequently than I change underwear. And I change underwear daily. So, I mean, that gives you, I mean, I'm thinking during the course of the day, they go, EVs? No EVs. EVs? No EVs. Hybrids? EVs? No hybrids. No EVs? No. It's like they have no damn idea as to what they're doing. But I must say, when you have no damn idea as to what you're doing, that calls for a compensation package somewhere in the neighborhood of $26 million. And don't you ever forget that, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you not just think that? I hear you saying they're like, you know, going back and forth left and right. But aren't they just Google searching the same thing I just Google searched this morning, which is Toyota hybrid strategy? And, you know, it's the New York Times profiling how Toyota's hybrid first strategy is delivering big profits. We talked about it yesterday on the show. For those of you that weren't with us, Toyota and Lexus accounted for 9% of all vehicles sold in the month of March, yet they accounted for 28% of the gross profit generated from new car sales in the month of March. Toyota is showing how to make money being an automaker. Ford, Chevy, Stellantis, even other automakers that are not just domestics are struggling. So can't you actually like commend Ford for moving quickly and flip-flopping back in the other direction? Because that's what they're doing. They had their foot all the way down on the accelerator for EVs.
Yes.
And now they're pulling it off.
Okay. Yeah. Great. They have wonderful vision. Okay. It's all backwards vision, but it's wonderful vision. I just think I think most of the manufacturers 3 years ago when they were committing billions and like half between the industry about $500 billion to EVs moving forward. And I think they were all enamored with what was going on at Tesla. And they all thought that they're going to be the next Tesla. And they found out, well, Rivian's the next Tesla. Ford isn't, Stellantis isn't, GM isn't. So they found, and they had committed so strongly to EVs that they broke the company up into three divisions, the electric division, the original ICE division, and their pro division for commercial division. You know, and I mean, they were so gung-ho. And they never took into consideration what might happen as things slow down, as more and more manufacturers enter into the EV space. And what they found, at the price points that they need to be at, their vehicles are not as desirable as, say, comparable Teslas. So do I commend them for flip-flopping? I guess. You know, do I question their ability to do studies and surveys and try and look at the future? Yeah, I question that ability. I question how they came up with some of these strategies and why they thought they were going to be so successful when they've been anything but that.
I hear you. I will say Ford was the most aggressive in pushing towards electric vehicles. And to be clear, they are the second largest EV automaker in the United States. So they do have a presence there. But you'll remember, Dad, it was just November of last year. They said they had dealers dropping out of their EV only program. And, you know, Ford has been very, very, very aggressive on that front. They told dealers, hey, we're splitting the company up. You're going to sell EVs. If you sell EVs, they're at a fixed price. Like, we're going to really change things and shake things up. And in a lot of ways, I do commend them for being that aggressive. The unfortunate reality is when you're producing EVs, like the Mach-E, they didn't produce a single Mach-E last month because there's a 300-400 day supply because they cost 50, 60 grand. No one wants them. So it's like this strategy could have worked. But unfortunately, it's not, because they just didn't make them at the right price points, which then they would say back to us as, well, we can't make them at any cheaper. We're not even making money on them. It seems like the whole industry got caught up in this, Dad, and is really just, they're kind of behind the eight ball right now, except for Toyota. Toyota's in pole position.
And Toyota, for years and years and years, said, we're going to approach EVs much more slowly than everybody else. We believe
they were super contrarian compared to everyone who is throwing hundreds of billions of dollars towards EV production.
And they even replaced their chairman last year with somebody that was much more EV centered. And yet, you know, they're still producing hybrids at a high rate. They're more profitable than any other manufacturer out there. I think, you know, oftentimes I might be considered a contrarian, you know, because I look at what's hot and I go, it's not going to be hot for long. Or, you know, I think, why is it hot at the moment? How long will it be hot? Why is everybody jumping on the bandwagon? Are they making a mistake? You know, I try to look more deeply into things, and I just think, yeah, maybe it was like herd mentality, and all these manufacturers just jumped on and they got caught up in the psychology of it all, except for Toyota. And should we give props to Ford for realizing in the month of March they didn't need to produce any more Mach-E's until they could sell down the number of Mach-E's they have? And Mach-E sales and Lightning sales were up significantly in March because, well, I don't know, the prices were reduced significantly in March. Incentives were increased significantly in March, proving once again that the way you move things that aren't as popular as you like is to lower the price to make them more compelling. But to sit here today in April of 2024 and say, we are going to offer hybrid alternatives for every one of our models by the end of the decade. Well, wait a second. Aren't we supposed to be making that huge-ass switch to battery electric vehicles around the end of the decade and in the early 2030s? So yep. that suddenly some of this stuff won't even be produced till we, I mean, listen, they got a lot of cash reserves. Allegedly, they've got close to $50 billion in cash. They can afford to ride out some of the mistakes that they make. But it just,
let me ask you a question.
Ask me anything.
Do you think Ford is the first domino to fall And what I mean by that, do you think we will see other automakers make similar announcements? We've already seen General Motors double down and say, nope, we're committed to our EV plans. Ford has now been the first one to come out and say, EVs, we're pressing pause. I mean, let's actually pull that up on the screen for a brief moment here. This is the lead story today. The shocking news really out of Ford is not that they didn't produce any Mach-Es. That's like pragmatic, smart news. The shocking news is, quote, the automaker said it is postponing production of its under construction Blue Oval City plant in Tennessee from late 2025 to 2026. Equipment installation is underway at the plant, Ford said, and construction of the overall manufacturing campus continues. The automaker previously said Blue Oval City will have an annual capacity of 500,000 EVs and would employ 6,000 workers. So they're delaying it by a year. Yes. Ford also is delaying production of the three-row EV utilities at a facility in Canada from 2025 to 2027. However, it plans to begin transforming its Oakville assembly plant into an EV complex on time this quarter. So they're pulling back on two of their three EV initiatives. That's the shocking news. But do you think this is the first of many dominoes, other automakers to follow suit?
Well, we know in the automobile industry, groupthink is the real thing. You know, they all bought in at the same time for EVs. So if Ford is suddenly pulling back and moving, you know, what's going to stop Stellantis from saying, well, maybe we should look more at hybrids? Or GM, even though they said they're committed to EVs, if the sales of their EVs continues to slow, then you know, maybe they'll come to the same conclusion. Groupthink is real, and groupthink can consume an industry. And groupthink for EVs consumed the automobile industry in the late teens and early 20s. And we could see a change in direction in that groupthink. It always seemed to me, and we've talked about it in the past, that in order to get Americans to say, I'm going to buy an EV, there had to be that bridge. The bridge to travel to get people to full electric battery electric vehicles was a hybrid vehicle. I was saying that 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And Toyota's proving that's the bridge for Toyota. And I don't believe it's a bridge too far. I believe it's a bridge for the masses. That's what it's going to take to get people to go, yeah, ultimately I'll end up in a battery electric vehicle. This is my way of getting there.
Let's be real, though. Let's be real. We keep track of the data. Let me pull it up. CarEdge.com. If you Google search slowest selling cars, space CarEdge, you know, our guide will come up here. We just updated this the other day. Let's take a peek. That's slowest selling cars in the United States. All right. How many of them are EVs? Let's do the quick count. So the BMW X2, the latest data we have for this, slowest selling car in the United States, 772 days supply, not an EV. The Audi SQ8, not an EV. You've got the Dodge Hornet, not an EV. There it is. The Mustang Mach-E, EV. You actually only have, let me scroll down and double check. Yeah, you only have one EV on this list of the slowest selling cars. So I don't even think it's a powertrain thing. I think powertrain's part of it. It's partly just like, look at the price points of these things. People don't want to buy these vehicles at these prices, or in the X2's case, people just don't want to buy the X2, the BMW X2. So I think it's partly powertrain. I also think it's partly just consumer sentiment for these vehicles. Like the Mach-E was a miss. And we know the Ford Lightning, F-150 Lightning is a miss at that price point.
And the Mach-E wasn't even their best technology. The Mach-E, the original Mach-E was like, let's throw some stuff against the wall and see what sticks, and we'll put it out as an electric vehicle. Okay, the technology wasn't as up to date as other models. The build quality wasn't what it should have been. So it was just it was an electric vehicle for the sake of making an electric vehicle. Not the best electric vehicle, just, I don't know, an overpriced electric vehicle. So, listen, mistakes get made. I understand that. I get it. Oh, okay, this is a pretty big mistake to admit that, you know, we've been plowing billions upon billions of dollars into what we thought the future was going to be, or what the future ultimately will be. I don't know. But the future isn't coming quite as quickly as we anticipated. And that's where they and everybody else kind of got caught with their pants down.
Going to jump to the chat here for just a second. In a moment, we're actually going to review the 6 new cars and trucks poised for big price drops this year. A great article and data pulled from Justin back on caredge.com/guides. We'll turn our attention there in just a second before our favorite segment of the show. Before we do, from Michael, thank you, Michael, for the kind contribution. Ford is giving up, but Rivian, who only sells EV trucks and SUVs, was up 70%. Tesla sales were up only 4%, but that's still growth. Yeah, I think the narrative that EV sales are plummeting, crashing, anything like that is generally wrong. There still continues to be EV sales growth. Is it slowing down? Yes, it is slowing down. And are the legacy automakers as bullish on it as they were 18 months ago? No. That's the big story. Is legacy auto is looking at it and saying, oh crap, hybrid is the solution. And I think that's what was so interesting about Ford's announcements today.
Yeah, at least temporarily, hybrid is the solution.
You'd be hard-pressed to convince me that Ford isn't going to be all in on hybrid for at least a decade, because they're just going to make so much money. They're going to make so much money by building affordable hybrid vehicles at price points that they just can't get to in EV land. Let's look at this article that Justin put together, Dad, again, back at caredge.com/guides. 6 new cars and trucks poised for big price drops in 2024. Any guesses before I show you? I know you can see the Altima here, so maybe that's one of your guesses, but what other guesses do you have?
I didn't even see that. I could take my glasses off and still not see it. I could put my glasses on and still not see it. I have no idea. I 6 cars and trucks poised for big price drops.
Boom. Here you go. Nissan Altima, Dodge Hornet, Grand Wagoneer, Nissan Titan, and the Subaru Solterra, and the Volvo C40. What I love about what Justin did here is a few things.
Yes.
MSRP, average selling price, current day's supply. As you know, that day's supply, the higher it is, the more likely the dealer or the automaker are going to be to make modifications to that selling price. These are vehicles that are just sitting, folks. And I think it's a perfect example, similarly to what we were describing with Ford and the Mach-E. These are vehicles out there that you can negotiate on, or you should expect to see those, like the Wagoneer, an MSRP reduction sometime soon.
Are they going to do that, or are they going to keep hanging their hat on the, if it's good enough for Derek Jeter at that price point, it's good enough for anybody?
I think Dan sums this up pretty well. All the unpopular vehicles in today's market. Yes, there's ones lined up for big, for price drops.
Yes, I mean, it's not like there's a secret to this. So it is. Will there be some bargains in there? I would suspect, and are these necessarily the worst cars that have ever been built? No, probably not. Could they represent a really solid value? They could, so that if you don't mind buying something that's less popular, and you want to get the initial savings up front, because you're going to take it in the shorts when you go to trade it in. But if you want to get all those initial savings up front, these could be the vehicles for that, which would at least allow you to get into a car.
Which I just want to pull it up. This is where we're going to head next. We are starting to see those discounts show up in dealer profits. This was in Automotive News this morning. Average dealership profit falls again in 2023, report from Presidio, an NCM associate show. Before we head there, Chloepo, thank you. Chloepo, $70 brakes, dealer wanted $2,000, doing the work myself. That's one way to save money if you're a Porsche owner.
Yeah.
You ever change your own brakes, Ted?
Once on an Audi 100 LS that I had back in.
You had an Audi 100?
Back in the 70s, I had an Audi 100. Such a fine automobile. I used to just drive around with a case of oil in the trunk because it burned oil, and I never had to do an oil change because I always put in 2 fresh quarts of oil every week. And I did.
Sounds like a hell of a ride.
Yeah, and I did in my day change the brakes on that vehicle because I was a poor college student at the time.
I'm impressed, Dad. Matthew Hoskins saying, saw my first Dodge Hornet in the wild yesterday. I don't even know if I've ever seen one. So that's, you know, I got to.
Well, we sat in one.
I've sat in one, but I don't think I've ever actually seen one in the wild. We've got here from Igor. I was actually able to pick up yesterday at auction a 2019 Tesla Model 3 long range with 28,000 miles for under 11 grand.
Oh, my God. Igor, that seems like a veritable bargain, my friend.
Salvage title? Was the title salvage?
Well, it's the market is crashing on used EVs. Because when you see
because what the new ones aren't selling and you got to lower the prices of the new ones. Yeah, this is the whole show we did 2 days ago. Why I'm saying wait 60 days for used cars. Yeah. Used car values are going to keep going down. New cars, go make a deal. Why not? Like the dealers are feeling it. We'll get to that story in a second. But yeah, Justice, my car is worth nothing. LOL. Yeah, sorry, Justice.
Yeah, but Justice, the amount of joy that car brings you is priceless. You cannot put a price on that. So there you have it. What can it's not like any of us are buying these things as investments because they're not. And they very rarely have they ever been. Okay, so mass market cars, be it Tesla or Fords or what they ain't going up in value normally. So if you like it, drive it. Who cares what it's worth at the end? Drive it till you can't drive it anymore. Or 100%. If you're like me, give back your lease at the end and just start taking Uber and Lyft.
From Marcus. Marcus, thank you. I'm a member of CarEdge. Can you guys help me with my deal when the time comes? Marcus also shared, I ordered a 2024 STX. Was wondering if I can still negotiate the truck to invoice or should I buy an on-the-lot F-150? I also wonder if I should look at the XLT instead of the XTX 5.0 4x4 all-wheel drive is a must. So Marcus, fantastic question. If you're a CarEdge member, there are two different ways that we can help you. More than two, but for those of you that are unfamiliar, you can check out CarEdge.com. We have both our insights and our concierge programs that we can help you with. And then Marcus, if you're one of our members, obviously log into your account. Just click login right here. And then you can connect with the team once it loads. You can connect with the team from your homepage right about here, expert help. So get in touch with the team right there, Marcus. And then obviously, if you'd like some help personally from me or my dad, you can reach out to us, Zach@CarEdge.com. Go for it, Pops.
Well, I was just going to say, and post that question on the community forum.
Yeah, but if you've paid and you've become a member, you can also reach out directly to our team. So you could use the forum, but if you've paid to become a member, you can reach out directly to the team.
And my suggestion always has been when you order a car, the day you order is the day you negotiate the price of it. Okay, the dealer doesn't necessarily feel quite as compelled to negotiate the price after you've already ordered it. So that's the discussion that needs to happen when you're ordering a vehicle. Well, let's agree on price before I order it. Will you sell it to me at invoice? Well, we won't sell it to you at invoice, but what if we sell it to you 500 over? Whatever it is, but those are conversations that need to happen before you give your deposit to order a vehicle.
We've got, Dad, it's timely, so I'll put up, how can I find out the inventory levels of a car? So, MD, I just had it up. Just log into your CarEdge account, or you don't even have to log into an account. You can just go to the car search, which is CarEdge.com, and then click on car search up in the top left, and this will show you everything, anything and everything you're looking for. So, for example, let's do it, Dad. Let's look at Ford, and then let's look at Mach-E. There are currently 19,218 Ford Mustang Mach-Es for sale nationwide. Let's toggle to new. There's 17,879 new Ford Mustang Mach-Es for sale nationwide. And then my favorite thing, if I were to click into this Ford Mustang Mach-E over here, we'll see there's a target discount of $2,100. That's what our algorithm thinks you should be able to negotiate as a dealer discount. The days on market is 277. And interestingly, the market day supply is only 48. We do know that sales for Mach-Es have been picking up like crazy. 172 of these vehicles have sold within a 100-mile radius of this dealer in the past, or there's 172 for sale right now, and 161 have sold within the past 45 days. So that's a way that you can see some of the market insights that can help you make a smart Decision. All right, Dad, back to the article in Automotive News, dealer profits falling. You can't be too surprised by this. Average dealership profit falls again in 2023 as inventory builds, interest rates stay high. We are seeing car dealers come down from their record high profit levels.
It's not a surprise at all. What's a surprise is the number of people will still insist that car prices haven't gone down. Okay. Now, the advertised prices in many cases probably might not have gone down. It is the final agreed upon transaction price that has gone down. So if a dealer is advertising something at $52,995, okay, and they have been advertising that car at $52,995 for the past 9 months, you would be correct in saying, yeah, but the price hasn't gone down. However, if you went to that dealer and you threatened to buy that car, you very well might end up with a much larger discount today than you would have 9 months ago. And suddenly, that car that's $52,995 asking price, maybe you can buy it for $48,000 or $49,000. We know that the gross profit in deals has gone down. And the only way gross profit goes down is because the selling price has gone down. So as much as people want to say the prices haven't gone down, advertised prices perhaps may not have. It's the ultimate agreed upon transaction price that has definitely gone down.
And we're seeing it in the dealer data.
Yes, and continues to go down. And I know people don't like to believe us when we say it, but you know, we bring the stats. If the average transaction price 24 months ago was close to $49,000, and today that average transaction price is closer to $44,000, I'm not real good at math, but that's a $5,000 drop. Okay, and that's real. If dealer profits have been slashed in half, that's real. These are real numbers. And they're numbers that indicate that ultimately the transaction price continues to go down. The asking price might not. So if you're just driving around the dealerships on a Sunday when they're closed and you're looking at the stickers on the cars and this dealer still has $2,500 in additional markup listed on every car. They very well might. That doesn't mean they expect to get it. They hope to get it. It doesn't mean that if you were serious about actually trying to buy that car and negotiating on it, that you wouldn't get that taken off and more. So, and we work hundreds, thousands of deals with people every month. We see it empirically that what's going on with prices.
And then you get these big reports from industry publications, and it's, hey, dealers have less profits. It's like, it's not being made up. It's very real. We're reverting back to the mean, you know, how things used to work.
Yeah, I'm afraid we are. And, and as you can tell, it annoys me just a little bit when gas was $4.50 a gallon and now it's $3.50 a gallon, then you're going to say, yeah, but that's still more than it was when it was $2.20 a gallon. Yeah, it is, but it's still a hell of a lot less than when it was $4.50 a gallon. So you can't tell me stuff hasn't gone down. You can't tell me the average transaction prices haven't gone down when they have, and there's proof that they have. You know, if you're not really buying something and you're just looking at the price, you might go, well, it hasn't gone down and it's still too damn expensive. But until you try and buy it, you don't really know what you can get it for. Then you can find out if it's gone down or not.
Let's come back to the chat here, Pops, and then our favorite segment of the show from Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. You've been very generous and very kind. please, please, please log into your account, click the expert help button, get help from the team. You do not have to contribute. It's very generous. We appreciate it. I asked about pricing. This was on his factory ordered vehicle, and they told me we will discuss pricing when it comes in. I did not put a deposit on the truck. I got the notification from Ford that the truck is being built.
Okay, you can still have that conversation. Even though they say, oh, we don't want to discuss it until it comes in. Why? You can agree upon the price of the vehicle subject to any customer rebates that might be offered at that time from Ford. But the price established.
Is your advice to Marcus to call him up and say, hey, just got the notification the car or the truck's being built. Want to get an OTD price from you. Let me review it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's sit down and have a conversation about what the out-the-door price of the vehicle is going to be and exactly what type of discount we're looking at. I mean, you know, throw it on them. Force them to reveal what they're thinking.
And when you get that out-the-door price, Marcus, please send that to the team through the expert help button so that we can review it and let you know what we're seeing elsewhere in the country. From Chelsea here, Dad, thank you, Chelsea, for the kind contribution. Just bought my first car yesterday. Congratulations.
Yes.
Thanks to your tips, I was able to negotiate about $3,000 off a fast-selling car. I mean, it may not be much, but I'm happy. $3,000's a lot of money.
Well, it is, but if it was a $100,000 car, it's only 3%.
She bought her first car, man, and you're assuming it's like an Escalade ESV? No, come on, that's incredible. Congratulations.
Yeah, very nicely done, and we're glad that we could help in some small way.
Speaking of help, Deal School is 100% free. Go to caredge.com. Under resources, click on Deal School. It'll take you right there. It is, like I said, 100% free. And again, what do you think, Dad? New dealers, no hassle, serious savings. What do you think of this new homepage?
Well, if I was a dealer, I'd be pissed, you know, but I'm not. We're here to help customers. We're, you know, so I think that's great. I think it looks pretty damn nice.
We've got it here from Dorman. Yeah.
I was just going to say, it's like everything in life. It keeps iterating.
Iterating, baby. Jorman, thank you for the contribution. Lots of Ford Mach-Es are listed as lemons. Seems like there are a ton of buybacks. Should I consider buying one or stay away? I'm going to hide under my desk. Yeah.
Stay away.
You don't want a lemon buyback Ford Mach-E, Dad?
I do not.
Stay away, Jorman. If you're going to do a Mach-E, I would actually look at used ones because the prices have like fallen off a cliff. I mean, that's one of the few examples where new doesn't necessarily make as much sense.
Well, and
our favorite segment.
Those used ones could be all those lemon law buybacks. So it could be, just saying. Really? You got to be kidding me.
Chevrolet announced the first retail trim for their Silverado EV. It is $96,495. Your out-the-door price on that will definitely be over $100,000. Kind of a somber, really. You've got to be kidding me.
Well, there's good news and bad news in there. You know, because the bad news is that America hasn't really been asking for another $100,000 EV pickup. The good news is that originally the MSRP was going to be $106,000. And they thought, well, if we drop it down to just 96 and change, that's going to make all the difference in the world. That will get those people to come. It won't. I pissed off an Acura rep once when I told him we were going to run an ad, and the ad was going to say, we're stacking them deep and leasing them cheap. You can't say that for Acura. Well, we were, and we did. Okay. The point is to not stack them deep and make them as expensive as you possibly can. And really, I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but is $10,000 really going to make a difference to somebody that was looking at that when it was a $106,000 truck? Is it going to sway, I don't know, thousands upon thousands of potential buyers who say, oh my God, they lowered the MSRP by $10,000. I got to buy one. It's only 96 large. Whatever. You know, they,
From Phil G, 96 and change, I'm there, said no one ever. Yeah, like, to your point. To your point, Dad. Like, I don't think people are clamoring. My comment that I added over on Twitter was the Chevy Trax is selling like hotcakes.
Yes.
You want the Chevy Trax? Get one through Car Edge. We can get it near, or actually at MSRP, at invoice, excuse me, delivered to your door. Like Chevy Trax are sub $30,000 OTD price points. People are clamoring for those. And then you've got on the opposite end of the spectrum. Yeah, I mean, we should not talk out of both sides of our mouth. The $10,000 price drop from where they said it was going to be is huge news. And
which is unusual.
$100,000. Yeah.
I was going to say, and it's highly unusual because every other time, every manufacturer has, when they announced the vehicle and said, like the Lightning, it's going to be a $39,995 truck. Yeah, well, yeah, maybe a three-year-old one, but not a new one. So this is one of those rare occasions where they said...
you can get four Trax, you can get one Lightning.
But this is one of those rare occasions where Chevy said, hey, it was going to be... It was $106,000, and we decided before it even came out that was $10,000 too high. So it's the opposite of what they had been doing up to this point. Is it a successful strategy? I guess we will soon find out.
That's for sure. All right, Dad, I want to come back to the chat here for just a moment. We've got from Trish the Dish saying, sorry, that was supposed to say, is CarEdge an American-only site, or can Canadians benefit from looking at the stock and pricing? Unfortunately, the data that you see is only for the United States of America. We've been looking into getting a Canadian version of CarEdge out there at some point. Hopefully this year, we'll be able to bring that to you, Trish the Dish. We've got here, Dan, from George saying, after buying a new car, when should you purchase an extended warranty from CarEdge? Near the end of when the manufacturer warranty ends, or when right after buying the car? It doesn't really matter. The only tactic, it's not an us tactic, it's the actual underwriters, the insurance companies. The tactic they use to try and convince you, George, and everyone else to buy an extended warranty right when you get a new car is they'll give you a cheaper price and a longer term. So that's the pitch. You want to have a cheaper price and a longer term, you buy it when you get the car. If you want to wait 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, whatever it is, the price is going to be more and the term options are going to be less. Doesn't matter to us at all. Our markup is a flat $600. We make $600 when we sell one. We pay out claims. You can get a quote without any personally identifying information. Very proud of what we do on that front, George, trying to be transparent and trustworthy there. Do it whenever it makes sense to you. That's the lever that the insurance company or the underwriting company provides. And then Nate says, almost bought one of our warranties yesterday, but wanted to know if we have any more discounts coming soon. Nate, if you go to caredge.com/extended-warranty and click on live chat or call into our team, ask for, what do you think, Dad? How much should we give Nate off? $100? We'd make $500. $100? $100?
Sure. Just for being nice. Just for asking.
Nate, if you reach out to our team, ask for $100 off, and I will send a message in our company Slack channel and tell everyone if a Nate comes through asking for $100 off to give it to him. So there you go, Nate.
But is that only for Nate, or is that for anybody listening or watching? I mean, that's not fair. I mean, Nate asked. You know, I like Nate a lot.
We're going to do a promo at the end of the month. We'll do a promo at the end of the month.
Why don't we just say that? Nate, hang tight. We always do a promo at the end of every month. I don't know exactly when it'll be, but yeah, see, like George said, my name is Nate as well. Everybody's going to be named Nate when they're trying to buy this warranty. So my guess, and this is a guess because my son doesn't discuss this stuff with me, but my guess is that probably around the 20th of the month through the end of April, the marketing department will say, hey, let's run our month-end special, and there'll be a code for $100 off. So, Nate, today's the 4th. Wait like 16 days, and everybody else will be able to get it too, because it's not fair just to give it to Nate when everybody else has to pay more. Now, don't tell me I don't stand up for consumers, even to my own son.
Tomorrow we'll be live here, normal show, and everyone needs to tune in. It is the 100th episode of CarEdge Electric Unplugged over on Car Edge Electric. If you are not subscribed over there, if you're unfamiliar with the channel, please, please, please. That's going to be the promo code this
month. That will be the promo code at the end of the month for the savings on the warranties. Promo code will be.
All right, how about this? Yeah. I will set up a promo code for anyone that listens and watches this show. I will set up a promo code right after we hop off. I'll tell the team. I'm going to set one up today. Give me an hour. It'll work. If you put in the promo code Nate, it'll work. It'll take $100 off. You don't want to wait until 16 days when we do our end of month. I will set up a promo code Nate and it'll work. And it'll be our secret. Anyone that watches this stream will be the only, we won't market it anywhere else. Yeah, exactly. Promo code is Nate. All right. I'm going to set it up. We'll see what happens. But I was going to say, tomorrow's the 100th episode of Car Edge Electric Unplugged. Please tune in.
Yes, there'll be guests galore, that's going to be from what I understand. Yes, yes. Yep. And I believe the originator of the show might even be showing up tomorrow.
Wow.
We'll see. Yeah.
Wow.
Gosh.
Well, I'm excited.
You know what's really going to be funny?
This is funny.
Okay. What's really going to be funny is when Nate never buys that flipping warranty. But he just got a discount for everybody else. Okay. I'm just saying, because if it turns out Nate never buys that one, we're calling your ass out, Nate.
We're calling you, Nate. We'll be talking about this tomorrow. Well, we can't talk about it tomorrow. Well, whatever. All right. Secret. Whatever. All right. I love you, Dad. Have a great day. Nora made pasta for lunch. I am so excited for lunch right now, man. I am so excited.
Well, you know, if I get on a train, I can't make it there. Okay. Enjoy your lunch. I'll see you in a few weeks, in not too many weeks.
And let's end on this note from Justice. Justice, really appreciate everything you do here at Car Edge. Remember, car shoppers, you will never get a discount if you do not ask. Congratulations, Nate. Love you, Dad. We'll be back tomorrow.
Love you too, handsome. Enjoy your pasta and say hi to Laura for me.